Welcome to the SDC Daily Podcast. This term we're looking at Matthew's Gospel. If this podcast encourages you, why not pass on the link?
Hello everyone and welcome to the final podcast of this week. It's been great to be with you and explore so many of Jesus' amazing teachings. For a recap this week, we've considered the true power. Power that comes from Jesus and how it shows up when we exercise faith. And how we have the power to influence the areas of position, forgiveness and restoration. Today we're wrapping up our week of looking at Jesus' kingdom values with the power of money. Or the power of putting money in its place would be a better but less snappy title. I think it's fair to say that 2020 has thrown up a lot in our nation around what we have or don't have. As I record this podcast, it's been a day where the news has been filled with people sharing and their struggles with finances. How are many going to survive the winter on 0 hours contracts? Maybe you've been kept up wondering how the bills will be paid, let alone how you're going to celebrate Christmas. Or conversely, maybe 2020 has made you realise how much you have. You've been clearing things out that you don't need, you know, driving around for weeks with bags of charity shop donations in the boot because you keep forgetting that they're there. It feels like the urge to self-preserve, to make sure we have enough and a little extra, has become very strong in a year where there is so much uncertainty. Today's passage tells the story of the rich man who struggles to hear the call of Jesus. And I believe that wherever you fall on this not enough and too much scale, that there is some real gold to be mined from this story today. This rich man asks Jesus how he can get eternal life. He tells Jesus that he's kept all the laws. And he asks, what else is it that I need to do? And we pick up the story at verse 21 of chapter 19. Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me." When the man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. This must have been a really sad scene to witness. This rich, eager man leaving, his tail between his legs, knowing he cannot hit the mark. And there's two things I want to pull from this passage today. Firstly, that Jesus is revealing a broad truth about the heart. And secondly, that he's revealing a specific truth about money. So firstly, Jesus is revealing a broad truth about the heart. Over the past week, we have seen several moments where Jesus calls out an attitude that has gone awry. The disciples asked who will be the greatest in the kingdom. The Pharisees asked what they can get away with in the area of divorce. The disciples struggled to summon up enough faith. Each of these moments show that no one is fully understanding the scope of the kingdom of heaven. It's like Jesus keeps showing them a mirror where they see that their attempts to look good and righteous are only skin deep. His truths are yet to penetrate their hearts. And it's the same here with the rich man. He lists loving your neighbour as yourself as one of the commands that he has kept. Jesus really seems to call his bluff. He replies, "Okay, go and give all you have to the poor." The man can't. And in his sadness, as he walks away, he reveals that he doesn't really love his neighbours as himself because he is unable to give his neighbour what he has. Jesus is handing him a mirror and saying, "Take a look. Your actions aren't matching up to your words." Jesus will call the Pharisees whitewashed tombs, beautiful and presentable on the outside, but full of dead things. He's saying the same kind of thing here, just with a little less tone. Jesus cannot stand empty sentiments. He is showing that the people of God are still struggling with the same things that left them wandering in the desert for 40 years. They say one thing and they act another way. Jesus is revealing that this broad truth about our human nature and how we so often don't live up to our words is at the root of things. And secondly, he reveals a specific truth about money. that unless we hold it lightly, it will control our hearts. The rich man walks away because he cannot and will not surrender his wealth to God, his actual possessions to God. Have you ever wondered why? Why does he struggle so much? I think there's maybe three reasons. Could it have been comfort? He liked the life his money afforded him. He was in no rush to give it up. Maybe it was security. He didn't know what was around the next bend. He wanted to have a little aside to protect himself against unpredictability in the world. Or maybe it was the prestige and power that money gave him. People spoke to him differently because of his wealth. It gave him access to people and places. We don't really know why he didn't respond to Jesus' challenge favourably, but we do know how he felt. The Bible says that he went away sad. He is sad because he knows the truth. Again, Jesus' mirror does its job. It shows him the hold that money has on him, and yet he still walks away. He's sad because he's in too deep. The hold is too strong. He just can't bring himself to give it up. Because the truth is that our money has no power in and of itself. We give it power. We let it dominate our decisions, our conversations, our minds, our worries. We make it a god in our lives. Jesus uses the rich man's money to highlight how he is putting his hope in something other than God. And I think we all know something of that struggle, don't we? Whether we lack money right now or whether we're currently living in plenty, we know how easy it is to give money too much power in our lives. We can make it a god whether we're worrying about whether we have enough or storing it up for a rainy day. Our income level doesn't affect the issue of our heart. If money is our god when we earn our first 1K, it's still going to be our god when we earn 100K. Jesus talks about money a lot. It's like he knows it's going to be a challenge for us. Every time he speaks about money, he puts it in its place, below God, as a tool, as a gift. 2020 is a year that has left the whole world in a state of flux and uncertainty. And we would be naive to think that this hasn't affected how we view our money. So maybe it's time for us to have a quick check-in. How are we doing with money? Is it in its place? How has 2020 affected my relationship with money? Let's be honest here. Because if it's causing anxiety, let's just name that. If we've developed greed under the guise of being responsible, let's name that. If Jesus thinks money is a topic he needed to keep talking about it, then you know we should probably keep talking about it. Let's not hide from this issue. If Jesus said to us today, give all you have to the poor, how would we respond? With sheer panic and fear, or with open hands acknowledging it's all gift? You know what? I am not sure that I'm quite there yet, but I long to be. Would you join me in praying now? Jesus, thank you for this challenging passage of scripture. Thank you for the challenge to align our actions with our words. And thank you for shining the spotlight on our attitude to money. God, we know how often we let money become a god, directing our thoughts and our hearts. Please show us today where this year has changed our view of money and help us to put it in its right place. Amen. Matthew 19:16-30. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, Jesus, teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me what is good? Jesus replied. There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Which ones? He inquired. Jesus replied, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honour your father and mother and love your neighbour as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go. Sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, truly I tell you, It is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What will be there for us?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or fathers, or mother, or wife, or children, or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name, Jesus, the only one who could ever save, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you, oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you, oh. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. Share.